Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior.
Amen.
As we entered into a new year, I started thinking back to the number of firsts that we have in our lives. The first steps that we take. The first bike that we ride. The first time we're behind the wheel. I remember my 71 GMC pickup quite fondly. The first time we fall in love and the first heartbreak that we have. The first move, the first house, the first whatever it may be. And you know, the first is something that stays with us as well. It is something that is important to us. And it may even influence other aspects of our lives for years to come. Well, today we hear the first miracle that Jesus performs in Mark's gospel. Now let's set the stage a little bit. If you remember, a couple of weeks ago, Jesus wandered out into the River Jordan, and it was there that he was baptized by his cousin John. And he came out of the water, and as he did, the heavens were ripped apart. The Spirit descended upon Jesus like a dove, and God spoke. He said, "This is my Son, the Beloved." And then immediately, Jesus was thrown out into the wilderness for 40 days, where he then endured some temptations. Then he gets back into society. He hears that John has been arrested. So he goes out and he starts to proclaim his message as well. The time has come. The kingdom of God is near, he says. Then he goes into the synagogue. And he starts to teach. And in the middle of teaching, he then performs his first miracle. Now, I have to admit, when I start thinking about Jesus' first miracle, I'm thinking about something really big. I mean, this is the first one. This is the first one from the Son of God. So I'm thinking, I don't know, Moses-style big miracle. Maybe we'll get the parting of the Jordan River. Or maybe we'll get a three-piece or three-course meal falling down from heaven. I'm thinking something big, something significant, something that will set the tone for all of Jesus' ministry. But what I expect isn't what happened. Because the first miracle is an exorcism. Yep, an exorcism. Dealing with demon possession. And you know that's something we're not all that comfortable talking about today. So what's the significance of this? That Jesus' first miracle is an exorcism. And how does it relate to us today? Back when I was going to high school in the 80s, there was a really big TV show called Miami Vice. I loved Miami Vice. It was one of my favorites. I loved it so much, I wanted to be Don Johnson. I really did. I wanted the hair, because I had hair back then. I wanted the style. I wanted the attitude. I wanted the wardrobe. I wanted it so much that I may have even been, well, possessed by it. Now, I have to admit, I went out and I bought the white Don Johnson suit, and I wore it. I had the slick back hair. I walked with the Don Johnson attitude. This enveloped me for a number of years that I was in high school. So what if we were to look at possession in a little different light? Not necessarily demonic possession, but rather look at possession as that which takes our energy, our focus, our strength, maybe even our worship away from God. Maybe we look at possession as that which controls us, that which may eat away at our soul, that which separates us from God and the good gifts that He intends for us to have. Now, if we look at possession from that angle, well, things are a little bit different. Because in all honesty, I have to admit that with this definition of possession, I've got firsthand experience with it. There are times in my life that I have been so possessed by anger that it has led me to say things that I regret. I've been so possessed by jealousy that I use what I have in ways that I regret. so possessed by greed, by pride, by laziness, by, well, the list could go on and on and on. And I think all of us can relate to this in one way or another. By being possessed by these, well, unclean spirits, which leads us to putting ourselves, our wants, our desires above others. Where we live our lives focusing on things or emotions so much that we say and do things that hurt others. We say and do things that hurt God. And you know, these unclean spirits, as they may be, may even strip us from really living. We might get stuck trying to satisfy these unclean spirits in our lives, and we move from living life to merely existing in life. And you see, that is where the power of this exorcism comes into play. That's where the significance of this first miracle is. You see, part of Jesus' ministry is to demonstrate the kingdom of God here on earth. And he does this by opposing the evil forces. He does this by opposing the things that would rob his children, that would rob us of all the hopes that God intends for us. By opposing the things that take our focus, our energy, away from living and living in the fullness that God has to offer all of us. And so it's with this in mind that we see this man with this unclean spirit approach Jesus in the synagogue. "Have you come to destroy us?" he yells out. "Have you come to destroy the things that separate us from you? Have you come to destroy the things that take our focus off of God?" And that's where Jesus says, "Come out of it. All that is evil, come out. All that is self-centered, come out. All that is tearing apart families and loved ones, come out. All that is damaging communities, come out. All that is filled with hatred and anger, come out. All that separates us from God, come out." Yes, it is significant that this is the first miracle in Mark's gospel. It's significant because in it, we see the heart of Jesus' ministry. A ministry that removes all things that separate us from God. A ministry that casts out those unclean spirits that curse rather than bless, that tear down rather than build up, that sow hate rather than demonstrating love. A ministry that empowers all of God's children with the grace and the love that we need to live, to really live in God's creation. And it's also a miracle that is lived out in our daily lives as well. I want you to take a moment and do a little self-reflection. What is one thing that has possessed you recently? Is it anger against a family member or a friend? Is it jealousy over some item? Is it shame for something you've done? Is it grief that has consumed your entire being? I want you to think about this one thing that has claimed so much of your time, your thoughts, your energy, and how this thing may have even controlled some of your actions. It is that, whatever it is, that anger, jealousy, grief, it is that to which Jesus is saying, "Come out. Come out and free my child. Come out and let my beloved live, really live. Come out. And the forgiveness, love, and grace of God will embrace this beloved child all the more." Yes, Christ has come to free us. To free us from everything that controls, dictates, and may even scare us. He has come to free us so that we may live, really live, in the arms of His blessing and love. Glory be to the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.